Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
We're talking about a very vital subject today that I pray that you're tuned into, you're listening to, and taking notes. And I pray that you will understand the dangers that's looming over America. While the fiddler plays, as the old cliche goes, Rome burns. And while we're watching the shenanigans of the fake, false, phony news, while we're watching the Marxist, Socialist, Democratic Party trying to crucify our president, while we're watching all of the voodoo taking place in Washington, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, when I use that term, I really believe that it's a demonic influence over the all of that's taking place today in D.C. and coming out of our capital. I believe it's a demonic influence that's taking place, but never mind that fact. We find AOC and the squad. We find the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, and led by Nancy Pelosi, that's really not the head of the Democratic Party anymore, but she is by name only. But we're watching that take place and not watching, ladies and gentlemen, not carefully understanding what is behind the scenes with the secondary and tertiary events that are taking place that are really the most dominant things that are taking place. We're watching this happen. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the transformation of America via political jihad. And the telephone number that you can dial to jump in this dialogue and discussion, I realize it's fast-paced, fast-moving today because there's so much that needs to be said to get you a little capitalization of what's happening. Nevertheless, we'll pause and entertain your question to comment. Perhaps you've got insights, things you've seen, things you've been involved in that you would like to contribute to the broadcast with the horrifying thoughts of where we're headed in America. As I said earlier, demographers have said that by 2050, America will be an Islamic nation, One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that does that is through the childbearing. Islamic couples are producing about 8.9 children per family, whereas Americans are producing about 2.5 children per family. I don't know how you have one, but nevertheless, that's the statistical number. And Europe today is less than 1.5, about 1.3%, or 1.3 children per couple. Therefore, we find Islamic reproduction outpacing every nation around the globe. Today, ladies and gentlemen, around the globe, we have about approximately a billion and over a billion point eight, about 1.8 billion Islamic ardents that's following the Quran as their faith. And we're finding that getting heavier and heavier in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Islam means submission. Islam's goal is not to blend in societies wherever they go. The goal is not immigration but and not assimilation, but it is absolutely jihad to take complete control over any nation in which they enter into. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Philly, talking about Philadelphia, Philly Mosque reports threat after kids chop off their heads. Video. You heard me right. Headline, Philly Mosque reports threats after kids chop off their heads. Video. Several Muslim leaders in Philadelphia say the mosque have received threatening phone calls in response to a video posted Friday of children at a local mosque reciting poems and songs in Arabic and decapitating opponents of Islam and other violent declarations. End quote. CAIR, Council on American Islamic Relations, better known as capital C-A-I-R, along with the overseers of the mosque where the children performed, the Muslim American Society, were formed by the U.S. leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, the global movement that exists to help bring nations under the authority of Islamic law. Hear me. It is the Muslim Society, the Muslim Brotherhood, with the global movement. It's called in America now, some of them, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. It's the Muslim American Society also, and it's the U.S. part of the branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. And their global goal in the global movement is to help bring nations under the authority of Islamic law. CARE was the unindicted co-conspirator in a terror funding case and was designated by the U.S. Arab Emirates as a terrorist organization. But ladies and gentlemen, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, is embraced by most politicians in America. It's through the Muslim Brotherhood coming out of the Arab Emirates and the Muslim Brotherhood through CARE that's funding multitudes of the political campaigns in America today. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast, of what's taking place with the political jihad that has its movement to elect and put in office Muslims across America to take control of the political system in the United States of America. And don't you dare think that it can't be done. It has been done and is being done in every nation around the globe. It is a fast-paced takeover of the globe as we see it today. It has taken roots and it's taken over and is in complete control of Europe and in many other nations around the globe. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this article says WorldNet Daily reported the video of the children was uploaded to Facebook on April the 17th by Muslim American Society of Islamic Center in North Philadelphia. The site of the Ummah, that's E-U-M-M-A-H Day, event which they performed. No one complained until the video was translated into English and posted last Friday by the Middle East Media Research Institute. Ladies and gentlemen, it's where they're utilizing the children to indoctrinate Americans on the Islamic cause and to cause our young people today, the ones that are open-minded, the millennials in particular, to receive, embrace, and accept fully the Islamic agenda for America without realizing the dangers that it entails. So let me just talk for the next several minutes on the subject of the different jihads. Number one is silent jihad. Some call it submissive jihad. Silent jihad or submissive jihad is where Islamics come into the nation, whatever country, whatever city, whatever state, and they're silent. They just come and go. They live their life. They're silent. They are viewed as being humble. In fact, I had one dear Christian lady a number of years ago that wanted to take me to task for saying anything, as she called it, negative about Islam. She said, I've got a professor at the University of North Florida that's a mathematics professor, and he's the most humble, kind, gentle, spoken person I've ever met. Yes, sirree, as you'd call it. That's exactly silent jihad, submissive jihad, where there is a humble attitude. They're going to be low-key, flying under the radar, doing their networking of getting other Islamics into the community, into the culture, into the nation, into the city, the state where they live. And they will not complain. And at the point in time when they're viewed as good citizens, when it gets to the point of 3 to 6%, ladies and gentlemen, I can prove to you in my research, I have it in my book on Is Islam Tolerant, when an Islamic community in a city, a state, a culture, or a nation gets to the point of between 3 and 6%. That sounds like a low number, doesn't it? Nevertheless, at that low percentage, they will rise up and start demanding special rights. Halal food, as it's called. That is food that is viewed as clean food by the Islamics. You go to most of our larger grocery stores in America today, and they have an entire Arabic department of an Islamic department of halal food, called clean food. You won't find any sausage there. You won't find any pig meat there. You won't find any ham or bacon there because it's considered unclean. And I can go on and on and on. They will start rising up and demanding that stores stock their food, that stores will meet their needs, and that there will be in the schools, educational systems, prayer rugs for them to pray on, et cetera, et cetera. All of these demands will take place only after you have 3 to 6% of those in the community, in the city, in the state, or the nation that they've come into. Then you have, ladies and gentlemen, not just in sequence, this is not a chronology. These are all happening simultaneously across America, and they're doing a global basis. We're talking about the fact that we're transforming America by political jihad. Silent jihad, submissive jihad is part of that. And then you have the educational jihad. It's through the educational system, through our schools and colleges and universities, and through the textbooks that indoctrination of the students take place until there's full acceptance. Ladies and gentlemen, if your son or your daughter goes to public school, you can bet your boots that they're being taught educational jihad. They're being taught that Christians and Jews are minuscule and Christians and Jews are not superior to Islam, that Islam is superior, Islam is better, Islam is promoted as being good. And yet the Bible and Jesus and anything about the Judeo-Christian belief is totally ignored, totally left out. If it is mentioned at all, it's minuscule. In fact, in some of the textbooks that I've reviewed on this subject, they'd have 5 and 6 pages about, and sometimes a half a chapter or more, about Islam and about Muslim life and living, and maybe a paragraph or two paragraphs or four or five paragraphs about the Judeo-Christian religions. Ladies and gentlemen, that is educational jihad. Educational jihad. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says TV program tricks Christians into converting to Islam. A television program run by the Muslims accused of tricking a Christian child into converting to Islam by luring them onto the stage and the promise of food, explains Joseph Farah on the G2 Bulletin. He then was told to recite Islamic Shahada, which means that, which claims there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger to Allah. In the company of about 20 adults, this took place, ladies and gentlemen. But we find an educational jihad where the textbooks, listen, you can check me out, validate it, and refute it if you like. The overwhelming majority of the textbooks in America are produced by Islamically controlled authorship and publishing companies, where the board of directors, where those that do the research and those that do the critiquing of the textbooks are coming out of an Islamic background or Islamic bent. And it's being promulgated in the textbooks and pushed and prompting the students to believe that Islam is okay. This is the reason you can interview multitudes of the airheads that's in colleges and universities, high schools and grammar schools where Islam is being taught, not just 12, 18 months ago, right down in Winter Park, Florida, where Islamic textbooks had been discovered. And where a 10th grader challenged his teacher in relationship to what was being taught. He was summarily sent to the office and suspended because he questioned what was being taught by the teacher that came out of the printed pages of the textbook. It's educational jihad, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, here's an article by Thomas More Law Center. Title of it is U.S. Supreme Court declines to resolve a public school's double standard in promoting Islam while disparaging Christianity. And it goes on how the courts, article says, U.S. Supreme Court today declined to review the case of Kaylee Wood, a Christian 11th grade public high school student in Maryland, who, despite threats of receiving a failing grade, refused to deny her faith by making a written profession of her Muslim conversion prayer known as Shahada. Shahada says, as I've said a moment ago, there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his, the messenger of Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is through submissive and silent jihad, it is through educational jihad that we're watching the absolute transformation of America via the political movement within the realm of Islam. This is today's in American schools, textbooks, and the teachers, the educational system, all are promulgating and prompting and publishing and pushing and promoting Islam in a positive light, even having our schools repeat the Islamic conversion prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to say but true. Today, in all American schools, the textbooks and the teachers are promoting that system, pushing it. We're talking about the jihad system. Jihad means holy war. Holy war doesn't necessarily mean out in the open, in your face, swords in hand, or weapons in hand, shooting or killing or destroying anybody. It is through the silence and submissive jihad. It is through educational jihad. It is through political jihad that this is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, this educational jihad, these Islamic politicians are not in office to promote or to protect America. This political jihad is taking place, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't believe that, look at the Islamics we have in the U.S. House and the Senate. I think there's three, four, or five. Some are birthed Islamic, others have been converted to Islam. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we have about four or five of these in the U.S. House and the Senate. These Islamic politicians are not in office to promote or to protect America, but to push Islam and the Quranic ideology, ideological bent of the Islamic law that is coming out of the Quran. I call it Quranic law. CAIR, C-A-I-R, Council on American Islamic Relations, now has the goal of pushing and promoting and prompting and trying to get elected 5,200 Islamic candidates for 2020. 5,200 across the nation. Back a number of years ago, about 2003, 4, 5, before an individual that was the head of CAIR for Florida, he was out of Tampa. He had on the CAIR website before it was taken down and everything washed, as I call it. he had on his CARE website promoting Muslims in the state of Florida to run for any office, dog catcher or any other office, or be appointed for any political appointment. He said, from dog catcher up, so that we can become part of the system to ultimately control the system. That's political jihad, ladies and gentlemen, and that's taking place today. Here's an article that says, the aim of CARE, that's Council on American Islamic Relations, the Muslim organization is to get 30 Islamics, also known as jihadists, elected to Congress. Not only are they looking to push and promote and underwrite, by the way, they have hundreds of millions of dollars to underwrite these candidates. Don't you dare think that the Islamic agenda cannot be funded. It is being funded today, and it's being funded by the deep pocket sheikhs out of Saudi Arabia and Dubai, and they're funding it by the hundreds of millions of dollars. Their goal is to push 5,200 candidates across America and every office imaginable, and to put in 30 Islamics in Congress. This writer says, this article I'm reading, as an American, I believe there are three or four now already there. We have to do everything in our power to see that this never happens. Our goal should be to get rid of those already there. Muslims do not have the best interest in America's heart. At heart, they are the enemies of America, plain and simple. Even mentally disturbed, deranged liberals should be capable of seeing this. I know, wishful thinking on my part. Further, he goes on to talk about the Muslim supreme cleric Khomeini. Claims that the annihilation of America and Israel are in accordance with the teachings of the Quran. Remember this next time a Muslim running for elected office in our country is seen. Remember that they're saying that the teachings of the Quran teach that they need to annihilate America and Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the goal. Here's an article that says two Muslim candidates head to the runoff election in Texas. And that's taking place, ladies and gentlemen, even as we speak. They're aligning the candidates, getting them lined up, their pockets filled with cash and ready to run the race to be put into these offices across America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, witness the U.S. House changes. The U.S. House of Representatives changed the rules. They had the rules for over 200 years that on the House floor, you could not have a head covering. That is, and it was designed back in that era, for ladies that would wear hats as a dress article. Men that would have hats on with their suits. And so it was deemed to be the proper decorum, the proper dress, to have no head covering. But ladies and gentlemen, when Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar was elected, Nancy Pelosi moved immediately to have the rules changed in order to allow them to go on the House floor with their heads covered. Heads covered, Islamic dress, ladies and gentlemen, to wear the Islamic head covering on the House and the Senate floor. This has never been done in U.S. history until the present time. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that points out some things. And by the way, I've got a whole sheaf of articles about Ilhan Omar and her marrying her brother to get him into America, having a child by him, then divorcing him, marrying another man during the course of her election campaign, involved in a relationship with another man, and out of her campaign funds, which was illegal, supposedly being investigated, but nothing had been done, paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for her campaign leader and her newfound boyfriend. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Ilhan Omar accused of being a paid agent of Qatar and accessing sensitive information for Iran, according to court testimony. Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, has been accused of being a paid agent of the government of Qatar and using her position in Congress to access sensitive information for the benefit of Iran, according to the testimony and a civil suit filed in the state of Florida. An individual that's Kuwaiti-born Canadian businessman made the accusation in two video conference testimonies on October the 23rd from Toronto for a civil case filed in Florida against the brother of the Emir of Qatar over allegations that the Sheikh ordered his American bodyguard to murder two people that was held in the American paramedic hostage. He goes further saying an explosive testimony made by the video link from Toronto, Canada to a Florida district court October the 23rd. The Kuwaiti-born individual claims to have deep ties with the government and royal officials across the Middle East, including Qatar. In his statement, he says he met Qatar's secretary to the Emirah for security, Affairs Mohammed, and two other senior Qatar officials. The three allegedly claim to have credit for the rise of Ilhan Omar, saying, quote, "If it wasn't for our cash, Ilhan Omar would be just another black Somali refugee in America collecting welfare and serving tables on the weekend." He goes further to talk about the funds that they had paid her in order to get her elected, and that she is on the payroll for finding information, getting sensitive information for Islamic nations, including Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the danger of electing the Islamic jihadists for political seats any place across America. But ladies and gentlemen, these Islamic politicians elected to the House and the Senate leaders are just a small part of the big picture across America. The movement today by hundreds of Islamics that have been elected in state houses and city council members and leadership across America, Minnesota, Michigan, just a few of the states to mention a few that have Islamics in control of these states. So how can we identify some of these events are positions and politics and the politics and what they're doing? How can we say something about this, and what should we do about warning of the looming dangers of the coming Islamic invasion and control in America? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize, here's an article that says, breaking news, President Trump removes Muslim federal judge for trying to implement Sharia law in America. I say good for him. Kudos. God bless him for that. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the article. 22nd Circuit Court of Appeals, Justice Hanson stood out as a truly noteworthy this week when he upset a decision out of Dearborn, Michigan. The decision permitted two basic and fierce principles of Sharia law to be rehearsed here in the United States. At the point when injured as to why the Fed Reserve the privilege to enable a man to brutalize his better half to talk with another man and to pound the life out of her about if she somehow managed to follow up on her driving forces, the judge referenced the methodical incumbents and the proviso that said the Sharia law ought to be permitted in the light of the fact that the 14th Amendment promises them the rights ensured and enshrined by different states. Those laws might be worthy to salvage. However, here in America, we have higher norms. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called ALAC, ALAC, American Laws for American Courts. We've tried three times to get it passed in the state of Florida, and because the jihadist involvement with the Democratic parties, the Democratic leaders in Tallahassee, both the House and the Senate, the Democrats being paid by the jihadist lawyers, we've not been able to pass American Laws for American Courts. Anytime there's a court that renders a decision based on Islamic law, it's illegal, unconstitutional, and should not be permitted. So I'm thankful that President Trump just removed a Muslim federal judge for trying to implement Sharia law in American courts. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very serious. For example, Michigan's political leadership is in the Islamic hands today. City council, fire department, police department, and leadership, most of the state representatives are now increasingly Islamic. They are running one that is, they're calling Obama 2.0. They're running for the one to be the governor of the state of Michigan. And they're looking at him far down the road and saying that he'd be a primary candidate for the 2024 presidential election, wanting to elect ultimately a Islamic president. Ilhan Omar state of Minnesota now has an overabundance of Islamic immigrants that have been brought there. Thanks to Barack Obama, importation of these Islamics during the 8 years of his office, unknown to most of Americans, Obama brought in and allowed to be transported thousands into the hands and into the cities of Central America, in the midst of America, the heartland of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Boy and Girl Scouts train to support terror in Michigan. In fact, the Boy Scouts of America website officially recognizes one Islamic-linked Boy Scout pack in the state, listing as Cub Scout Branch Pack 1139 in the Dearborn, Michigan area, housed in one of the cultural centers for Islam. In 2017, the Muslim Scouts in Michigan held a camp where the boys and the girls were taught by the radical supporters of the Iranian theocracy and Hezbollah. The Muslims must follow the commands of Iran's supreme leader, and as a result of that, they're training Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in some of the states to have the allegiance, not to America, not to the Constitution, not to the laws of the United States of America, but to the Quran and the Shahada, that is the call to conversion by Islamic leaders where they convert to Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the political jihad that is taking place in America. Here's an article that says that cops threaten woman for filming traffic problems in a U.S. mosque. Some big new operations opened in closed high school in the residential neighborhood, and there are traffic problems. Conflicts over the use of the public park in the late night events disturbing the peace. As a result, police threatened her with a charge of harassment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in Bloomingdale, Minnesota, where because of the outside the mosque where the Muslims just come up in the about the hundreds, throw their prayer rugs down over the streets, block all of the traffic. She videoed that, and rather than it being something that the police were interested in, they threatened to arrest her for harassment of the Islamics because she was videotaping it. Ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and begs to be answered, and that question that begs to be asked and answered is this: can a good Muslim be a good American? Ladies and gentlemen, there are 10 reasons, and I had the privilege of knowing Anish Shiro, that's I-N-A-N-I-S, Anish Shiro. Anish Shiro was a graduate in the same university that I was a graduate from. His was back in the 70s when he wrote the book Islam Revealed, or Revealing Islam, and he wrote several major chapters in that book that I've been impressed by. And he asked the question, can a good Muslim be a good American? Theologically, no. His allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of Arabia. Religiously, no, because religion is accepted by Allah. No religion accepted by Allah except Islam in the Quran. Scripturally, no. His allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam in the Quran. Geographically, no. His allegiance is to Mecca, to which he turns and prays five times a day. Socially, no. His allegiance is to Islam, and Islam forbids him to honestly make friends with any Christian or Jew. Politically, no. He must submit to the mullahs, that spiritual leaders, who teach annihilation of Israel and the destruction of America, which is the great Satan. Domestically, no. He's instructed to marry four women and beat and scourge his wife when she disobeys him. Intellectually, no. He cannot accept American Constitution because it is the basis of based on biblical principles, and he believes that the Bible is corrupt. Philosophically, no. Because Islam, Muhammad, and the Quran do not follow freedom of religion and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist. Every Muslim government is either dictatorial or autocratic. Spiritually, no. Americans declare one nation under God. The Christians' God is loving and kind, while Allah is never referred to as Heavenly Father, nor is He ever called a loving God in the 99 names it's given to Allah in the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the danger that looms before us, lest we look up, wake up, and understand what is taking place. What should we do? How should we respond? We need to be very, very careful going into the 2020 election that anyone that comes out of an Islamic background, we need to say no, 10,000 times no, you're not going into office with my vote. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.